I never have, I don't reckon, but preacher, if it gets offering, the Lord's moving, buddy. Amen. All right. I want to bring you a message tonight that I was reading my Bible the other day, and preacher gets sermons different ways. You get them listening to other preachers, you get them from sermon notebooks, and you get them from, but the best way I like to get sermons is when I'm just reading my Bible and a verse just jumps out and just grabs hold of your heart. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I want to bring you a message tonight, and I hope that everybody will listen, and I'm going to ask you to do me one favor tonight. I want you to imagine that you're the only one in the room tonight in the church, and I'm just preaching right to you, every one of you. Now, open your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. And I want you to listen. Now, remember, you're the only one in here. Mark, chapter 14. And Mark, chapter 14. And we'll start reading tonight with verse number 3. Mark, chapter 14. We'll begin reading verse number 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard. It's like perfume. We'd say perfume. Very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. Now hold your finger there. Them guys didn't care about the poor. They had 300 pence probably in their billfold if they wanted to help the poor. They just had a problem with that woman doing something for Jesus. And you watch out for these religious people that has a problem with anybody trying to do something for the Lord. I don't have a problem with nobody trying to do something for God. Now, verse 6. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus said, "Let her alone." Bad English nowadays. Perfect English according to the Holy Ghost. He didn't say leave her alone. He said let her alone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Look back at verse number 8. And I'm going to take the title of the sermon there from that verse tonight. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. I want to preach for a few minutes on that little thought. She done what she could. I'm going to ask you tonight if you'll do what you can. God never asks us to do what we can't do. The Lord does ask us to do what we can. I don't think God's unreasonable. Heard this verse illustrated one time. Said this Sunday school teacher told all her kids. They said, "Now, kids, I want you to illustrate a Bible verse next week when you come to church." They said, "Okay." And she called on the first little kid. Said, "What's your illustration?" He pulled out a salt shaker. Put it down right there like that. And he said, "Here it is. Ye are the salt of the earth." She said, "Very good, son." Pulled out another kid. Said, What's your illustration? He lit a candle. And he lit a candle and said, "Ye are the light of the world." "Very good, son. What's your sonny?" Little boy come up there. He laid down a little banny egg. Banny egg right there. Little bitty egg right there. She said, "Son, I don't understand that. What verse of scripture is that?" He said, "She hath done what she could." Amen. Amen. It wasn't much,
That little hen done what she could. Tonight you may feel like you can't do much, but you can do what you can. Now, I'm preaching this for us always, every time, all the time, but I'm sort of got in the back of my mind the youth rally. The youth rally, 7 weeks from tonight, will be ending. It'll be gone. Here's the way it goes. Every year, it starts coming at you. It's coming at you. And it gets bigger and 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 bigger. Then it's gone like that. And those 3 days are gone before you realize it. I've been on the phone with pastors in Kentucky, in Florida, in South Carolina. Group Ronnie, the bus man, said he's bringing 75 and wanting to spend the night out there at the fairground. Wouldn't be safe to be around out there, that bunch, from down in Rock Hill. There all weekend, there like that. That'd be great. Another preacher down in up in Kentucky, he said, I've heard about the youth rallies, and I want to bring my young people. Ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible for one person, me, or 5 of us, or 10 of us, to have a great, successful youth rally. It's impossible. We need everybody in here to do what you can. I'm not asking you to do something you can't do. I'm asking you to do what you can. The problem with most churches tonight is people don't do what they could do. The curse of Christianity is this. The curse of Christianity is we got this notion that, well now, if you want to be one of these dedicated people that lives for God every day and goes to church every time the door is open, that's fine. I mean, that's wonderful. But I just sort of serve God in my own way, and I just sort of kind of hit and miss and go when I feel like it and don't go when I don't feel like it. And I read my Bible every now and then and on Sundays, and I try not to do too much bad. And, that's the curse of this country. As a matter of fact, there's 2 verses of Scripture in the Bible that teach us that if you do everything you can, you are nothing special at all. The Bible said in Romans 12 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. I mean, it ought to be normal for a Christian to be completely dedicated to God. You know, it's weird to me. It's weird to me that people will pick out somebody like Miss Kerr, somebody like that, and they'll say, oh, she is so dedicated. She's just so dedicated. Did you know that every Christian's supposed to be like that? I am. You are. But we got this idea that, I heard one preacher say it like this. He said, the average Christian is so abnormal that if anybody ever got normal according to the New Testament, they would be abnormal in most churches. And what that means is the average Christian is so backslid that if anybody ever really got right in most churches, they'd have to backslide to fellowship with everybody else. When you really get right with God, there ain't nobody to fellowship with, seem like much anymore. Because everybody's on this about half-hearted business. And you know, when somebody really gets on fire, everybody look at him like, oh my goodness, they think they're better than everybody. There they go again. They're shouting. They're this. They're that. They're that. Listen, according to the Bible, it is our reasonable service. According to the Bible, where in the world did we get this notion that the preacher is the only one that's supposed to live right every day? Where did we get that? I heard people say, but he's a preacher. But you're a Christian. Amen? You're a Christian. You can't show me nowhere in the Bible where something's wrong for me that it ain't wrong for you. You can't show me one sin in the Bible where it's wrong for me, but not wrong for me. If it's wrong for me to do, wrong for you to do. Say amen right there. That's right. And brother, we ought to do what we can. It's 7 weeks from tonight. We're going to have youth rally if it's the Lord's will. Plans are being made. The devil is fighting already. The devil is fighting. He hates it. He hates the youth rally. He hates those kids getting on fire. He hates what we're going to do on addictions. He hates what I'm planning on Saturday night. The devil hates it. He don't want to see one boy or girl hit that altar. The devil hates everything we're trying to do. And I'm calling on the members of Shining Light Baptist Church. We've got 7 weeks. I'd like for everybody here to say, preacher, I want to do what I can. Amen. I'll do what I can. Amen. That's right. I'll do what I can. Now, I want to say a few things about this woman here tonight. And the first thing I want to say is, she gave the best she had to the Lord. She gave the best she had to the Lord. You may not have much, but give God your best. You may not be able to do a whole lot, but give God your best. You may not be able to sing like an angel, but give God your best. Sing like you should. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'll lead the choir here. Miss Desi, Brother Jason, play their music. We have other musicians from time to time. And I'm going to tell you something. Let's sing in the choir. Get in the choir. If you've not been in the choir, get in the choir. Listen, brother, we may not be the best singers in the world, but bless the Lord, we ought to have these seats full. Do what you can. Do what you can. Do what you can. The Bible said she hath done what she could. That's a simple thing. It's not going to kill you to just get up here and say the blood covers it all. Ladies and gentlemen, she did what she could do. Amen. Teenagers, get in the choir. Young people, get in the choir. Mom and Daddy, get in the choir. Amen. That's right, brother. Listen, Christians are so abnormal by New Testament standards. If anybody ever got normal, they're abnormal. She gave the first. She didn't give the leftovers. She gave the first. Not the leftovers, the first. Our tithes and our offering. Ladies and gentlemen, give the first fruits. Give off the top. Give extra. You know what? They're saying gas may go to $5 a gallon. That's what they're saying. I hope and pray it don't. But it looks like we're headed that way. I saw it $4.16 the other day for diesel fuel. Our buses run off diesel fuel. It goes to $5 a gallon. I don't know what we'll do. I don't know. It's so expensive already. We just got a big bill last week for insurance on the buses. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you something tonight. If we all do what we can, it'll be took care of. We'll run them buses. And the only way we'd ever have to park a bus is if somebody ain't doing what they can do. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, start. I'm doing it. I ain't preaching to you something that I don't practice myself by the help of God. I've been giving extra ever since we moved in this new building. I did today. I did last week. Listen, brother, I'm telling you tonight, and God's took care of me. If everybody in here will put your tithes and your offering in that plate, God will supply our need, and He'll get the job done, and we'll keep them buses rolling. How many of you believe you want to keep them buses rolling? Say amen. It'd be a disgrace to park one of them things. We may be forced into it one day. But by the grace of God, as we do it, we ought to do it if we can. Y'all come on now. Come on now. Amen. Them little precious little kids, brother. I don't know. Listen, we have some get saved every Sunday. They come in here, glory to God, and get right with God. She hath done what she could. Everybody ought to give. You say, well, Brother Danny, times is hard. I've been holding back on my tithe. That's the dumbest thing you can do. That's the dumbest thing you can do. You know your tithe goes to your local church. If I see a man down here somewhere and he needs food and I want to give him some food, I'll take my money out of my pocket and buy him food. My tithe goes into church. You say, well, I give my tithe to a lady out there that needed groceries. You stole it from God's what you did and made her think you was giving it to her, didn't you?
Amen.
It's easy to steal God's money and make people think it's coming from you. Brother, you put that in a plate and put it in there and say, dear God, I'm honoring you with my tithe and my offering, and you watch God. We got to do what we can. I know churches that's parking their buses. And it ain't because they ain't got the money. It's because they just ain't got a vision. I know churches that started a bus ministry and now they're sitting out in the front parking lot with a for sale sign on them. I've been in the bus ministry since 1980. And brother, I'm telling you something. I believe in it. I've never seen the Lord fail to watch out after us if we'll go after them little boys and them little girls. They're precious to God. They don't have nobody to care about. They don't have nobody to teach them the Bible if Shining Light Baptist Church don't go and get them. Lord have mercy. I tell you what. We got lots of women that want to go. We've got lots of teenagers that want to go. Where's all you teenage boys? What's wrong with you? Get in the bus ministry. Go visit that. Are you that lazy? Are you that backslid? Do you not care? You do what you can. Need some men. Now you know I'm right. You might as well just say amen right there. We need some men. We need some men. Thank God for Brother Mike back there. And thank God for Tim. And thank God for these other guys in the best ministry. But it's about 80% women. Always has been. What a shame. What a shame. If a man can play golf on Saturday morning, or if a man can watch TV half the night on Friday night, or if a man can give a little time and effort to knock on somebody's door and try to get it done what you can. They've done what you can. Are you doing what you can? Lord, it's quiet in here tonight. But it's the truth. I want to give my best for the youth rally. That tent, I mentioned buying that tent. I need to raise $1,500. And I've had three females say, I'm going to help you on that tent. The average church is about 75% women. Thank God for you, ladies. Thank God for you. Where are the men? Where are the men? How about some of it, men? How about it? You say, Brother Danny, I can't. I ain't asking you to do what you can. I'm asking you to do what you can. Asking you to do what you can. Well, she gave the best she had. Some had indignation. They got mad. They didn't like it. There are always those who criticize anybody who won't do something for God. I always like what Jack Kyle said. They said, Jack Kyle said, we don't believe in the way you're doing it. He said, I like the way we're doing it better than the way you're not doing it. I'm sick and tired of churches. They're always criticizing anybody wanting to do anything for God because it makes them feel better because they ain't doing nothing. You mark it down, people's always criticizing somebody doing something for God. Hey, before you start criticizing anybody in the bus ministry, you better check up and see how long has it been since you done anything for God. You know what they done? They sat back and done nothing and criticized her for trying to do something for Jesus. It's always the ones not doing nothing that criticize somebody for doing something for Jesus Christ. Before you sit and criticize everybody else trying to do something, let me ask you something. What are you doing for God? Amen. They had indignation. One time we had a lady come to our church years ago. We had some silly little skit, and she had never seen nothing like that done in church. And I'll admit, sometimes Maybe everything in them, it don't always go right. I had a boy one time, we was doing skit one time, and I told him, it was Eric, a boy from New York, and he had been a bouncer in a bar up in New York City. And he's Eugene's brother, Eric. Yeah, Curly and Eugene. And Eric been a bouncer in a bar up there, and he worked in a bar. And they said, man, he used to dance in a bar. I said, really? I said, we're going to do this crazy skit. We're going to have these people. I said, I want you to get right there. And I said, when that starts, I said, I want you to dance. He said, okay. I thought he'd just act like he's dancing, you know, and everything. I was up in the sound room, playing tapes, you know, and everything. Oh, my goodness. He done one of these Chippendale things. I thought, no! It's the house of God, you fool! And I went, oh, Lord. And I got to criticize that. I did not know he was going to do that. I mean, I'm telling you, it was awful. And as soon as over, I said, cut the camera off. And old Alan Ryman, he was standing there beside me. He was dying life. He said, I want the uncut virgin. I want the uncut virgin to take back home with me. Hey, listen, brother, listen. Before you criticize somebody, it don't always come out exactly right. I had this boy one time, he was a real good guitar player, and he used to play in a rock band, and he could play that AC/DC stuff just, you couldn't tell the difference. Y'all remember him? Old Randy Fulbright. I said, now Randy, when it comes that time out there, I said, I want you to come down the aisle, and I want you to play Back in Black. And boy, he come down the aisle, he had that guitar up through an amplifier, and he said, bang, 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 bang. And you could feel the devil come in there. Oh, it was awful. And all those kids were going, cool, yeah. I went, oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. There's been a lot of times I've asked forgiveness right in the middle of that. I said, God, I didn't mean it to do like this. But somehow or another, about that time, at the end, one lady told me, she said, I almost got up and walked out, Brother Danny. She said, I couldn't believe it. But she said, as the service went on, she said, the Holy Ghost come down. And she said, I saw them tears coming down them kids' face. And she said, oh, and I said, Brother, I tell you, we may not be able to do it exactly right to suit everybody, but I tell you, bless God, we're doing what we can. Amen. I've been criticized. I've been called every name in the book, and I may not be able to do what the Lord can do, but I'm doing what I can for the glory of God. I can't teach you a Greek class on Wednesday night. Glad I don't. Thank God I don't know Greek. I can't teach you a Hebrew class. But I tell you what I can do. I can open that old black book. I can lay it back. And I say, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to do what I can do for the glory of God. You know what people's problem is? They won't do what they can. Do what you can. Do what you can. Preacher, we started our church over in the old building. Preacher pulled up in the parking lot one day. We'd been there about 2 weeks. He walked over to me. He said, Danny, I want to talk to you. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, what do you think you're doing? I said, we're getting ready to have church here in the morning. He said, what makes you think you've got the right to just start a church? I said, Lord, me and the Lord, I prayed about it and I'm doing what I can. He jumped all over me. I said, you act like you're mad. He said, I am. He had indignation. Why? And his church is 30 miles from here. He was torn to pieces. Yeah! When I started the first church in Marion, when I was 23 years old, they tried to get up a petition to stop us from starting that church. How does all that stuff happen to me all the time? I never heard of them starting a petition to stop at another preacher. I draw that stuff like a lightning rod. But I'm telling you, all I said was, I'm going to do what I can. I said, there'll be preacher people that will come to your church that wouldn't walk across the street to hear me. What you worried about? I ain't going to hurt you. We're not going to hurt. Listen, there's people in churches all over Burke County that's got right with the Lord here, got saved here, and went somewhere else. We're not hurting them. We're helping them. Amen? I'm trying to do what I can. What are you doing? Sitting back criticizing everybody? I'm trying to do what I can do. Amen? I'm trying to do what I can do. Preachers, we've had preachers say, I'm going to bring youth group to a youth rally, and one of the members run to the preacher and say, no, don't take them there. Don't take them there. Now, do you believe the Holy Ghost led that person to talk like him? I'm going to tell you people something. If you think drug dealers are the only one the devil can get in, you got another thing coming. He gets in church people all the time. He gets in church people all the time. I want you to do what you can do. Amen. If you can't do nothing but cook a hamburger, or fix a funnel cake like these guys did. If you can't do nothing but say, hey, I'm going to straighten up a row of chairs. You got a backslid attitude. If some of you are, I don't know anybody that said this, so if I'm talking to you, it's the Lord giving it to me. I'll bet you some of y'all already said, well, he better not ask me to do nothing. I'll tell you right now, you need to get down here to this altar and ask God to forgive your wicked heart. What excuse do you have not doing what you can do? Well, so-and-so don't... You forget so-and-so. Listen, if I quit every time I got my feelings hurt, if I quit every time I got offended, if I quit every time somebody done something that hurt me, I wouldn't last 2 weeks. I got my feelings hurt this morning. You know what I'll do? I'm coming right back here tonight. You ain't going to run me off. This is my Father's house. I've come here to do what I can for the glory of God. Amen. You got any problem with that? Take it up with him. If you can't do nothing but ride a kid on a four-wheeler, do what you can. Do what you can. You say, Brother Danny, I have to work all the time. Then give money to help us buy the stuff. You know what? I've heard coaches. I've never been a coach. I coached Tim's here tonight. You can ask him, but I've heard coaches say, I didn't ever want to be a coach. I don't know how to coach. I'd hate to have to do that. But every coach says this. They say, I'd rather have a subpar player that gives it 100% than one of these hot shots that's so talented and knows it, and it's gone to their head and they don't even have to try. You know what a lot of people don't like about that NBA, the pro basketball? You see some of them guys getting paid $8, $10, $9 million a year is walking down the court. You know what people like to see? They want to see a man give it 100%. They want to see a man try 100%. Our coach told us, he said, you give it 100% from the time you step on that floor. I don't care if you're 30 points behind, 2 minutes to go, and you're as sorry as a Tar Heels. I don't care how bad you are. Sorry about that. So don't get up, walk out. I don't care how far you are behind. He said, give it all you got. Give it all you got. Amen. An athlete is appreciated who gives it 100%. Football, man gives it 100%, people appreciate it. He may not be the best, but he gives it his best. Bible said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Let me say this and I'm through. The Lord was pleased. Wonder, the Lord was here, and they said, what are you doing breaking that expensive bottle of perfume and putting it on his head? Why didn't you sell that and we could give it to the poor? They thought Jesus would say, that's right, you wait. You know what the Lord said? He said, you leave her alone. She'd done that in the sincerity of her heart. You just shut up, boys, and let her alone. I wonder that day when that preacher jumped on me in the parking lot, if Jesus had been standing there, wondering what he had said. I bet he said, you leave him alone. But Lord, Lord say, you leave him alone. He's trying to do something for me.
Amen, brother.
The Lord's took up for me a lot of times like that. He's took up for me a lot of times. Because he knows that I want to do something for him. I never have been the best preacher. I never have been the best Christian. But I want to do what I can for God. Because he has done so much for me. Lord have mercy. I'm starting to get so excited. Just do what you can. Yeah. I was thinking about Travis. Y'all know my buddy, Travis, down in Florida, Orlando, Florida. Travis said the other day, said this guy, Wayne actually told me, that I talked to Travis about it. He said there's a church way down. I don't know if you heard this story, Brother Jason, but I told you, but church way down the bottom of Florida. Somehow they knew about Travis, and they knew he's a wise, he's a very, very, very smart guy. I mean, a guy has got a brain, man. Ain't no telling what his IQ is. And he studies all the time and everything. Me and him's good friends. And a church called him. They said, would you come down here and help us? They said, we're about ready to have a split. Way down near Fort Myers, about a 3-hour drive from Orlando to Fort Myers, because Florida's so long and skinny. And he's drove down there, drove all morning, and he sat down there with the pastor and the deacons and everything. And Travis told him, he said, all right, well, he said, here's the way we're going to handle this. He said, y'all have called me in here to be the mediator. And they started talking about, he said, I'm going to give the deacons 30 minutes, bring out all your grievances and complaints. Then I'm going to give the pastor 30 minutes to respond. And then I'm going to give you my, so the deacons talked 30 minutes. They said, he's not this, he does not that. We don't like this, we don't agree with that. And he said, all right, pastor, here's one. He said, they told him this, they don't like that, and I think this, and I think that. And then they broke for lunch, and then they come back, and then they talked 15 minutes each. And he said, he looked at one of them old deacons. He said, deacon, he said, everybody, y'all got me down here to try to help you. He said, now, I think you ought to resign. He said, you've been a deacon here so long that you think everything has to go your way. And he said, I think you need to resign. And that deacon looked back at him, and he said, you're right. He said, I do think it all has to go my way. You're right, I'm going to have to resign. Because I can't give in and follow him if he's the pastor. He said, all right, that takes care of that. He said, deacon so-and-so, you know, he told him exactly what he thought. And they all hugged necks and made up and everything. Travis said, well, I'll see y'all later. And he stayed down there about 4 hours. And they said, well, here, we want to give you something. Give him a little envelope. He said, this is a little gas money. He said, he got in the car. He said, he opened it up and it was a check for $500. They gave him $500. He told me, he said, if you have any more trouble, just call me. I said, I bet you're praying that church will have trouble, ain't you? I said, Lord, you don't get that for a whole week of revival. One evening, that's the business a man ought to be in. Go to these big rich churches and counsel them. He just done what he could. Have you done what you could? Let me ask you a question. Did you give what you're supposed to give? I don't believe one second that everybody in here give what you're supposed to this morning. I don't believe it one second. I put in 1/4 of that myself. $400. So everybody else put in 12. Don't give me that kind of bull. Don't give me that. Somebody is stealing. And it's quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day. But it ain't my fault. I'm doing what I can. Have you? Have you been singing? Have you been participating? Just do what you can. Boy, I tell you, who was it? Tim. It was Tim. I told him, I said, brother, I kind of got a little idea in mind for the youth rally and might have an old crazy quartet or something like that. And he said, just whatever you need, brother. I'll do whatever you need. Man, you don't know how encouraging that is to me. Y'all just don't know how good it sounds to hear them words. Because with 1,000 people there, and people, one group spent $1,000 on fuel last year. Just fuel, getting here and back. Not counting their motel, their meals. When people start spending that kind of money to come, we can't have just an old dead service. Or that. I mean, that'd be a crime. We've got to have God's power and His blessings on that youth rally. And I'm going to preach about fasting, Lord willing, next Sunday night. And we're going to fast, Lord willing. I just want you to do what you can. Fanny Crosby was blind. And we all hear about Fanny Crosby and all the great songs she wrote. She didn't even... Some of y'all say, well, I'm getting too old. Fanny Crosby didn't even write her first song until she was 44. 44 when she started. Somebody told me that, well, I'm 50. I'm going to let some of the younger ones do it. She didn't even start until she was 44 and wrote 8,000 more hymns. 8,000. David Brainerd prayed himself to death down in the snow. Up in New England, got down in there, and they said he was real sick, and he'd get down in the snow and cough. He had a lung disease or something, and he had looked like rose petals on the snow, and that was little bits of his lungs, blood on them, scattered on that snow. And that old boy took the gospel to them Indians, and they couldn't understand a word he said. And he preached through an interpreter, and sometimes he'd see big tears start coming down their cheeks. David Brainerd was engaged to a beautiful girl, and it was Jonathan Edwards' daughter, the great Jonathan Edwards. And he's going to marry her. And the burden on him was so heavy to go to the New England Indians that he said, hey, I can't take you up there. They'd scalp you. I'm going to go do my mission work, and I'll come back and marry you. Never did get to. Never did marry that girl. He gave his life, died when he was 29 years old. He done what he could. 29 years old. The world would have said, that's a failure. That's a failure. But there's been preachers inspired and missionaries inspired by the thousands because of what David Brainerd did. You know what he did? He just did what he could. Are you doing what you can? Old Dr. Ruckman says, he said, do the best you can do. He said, the best you can do is all you can do. If you're doing your best, go home, go to sleep, and don't worry about it. He said, if you ain't doing your best, kick yourself. Kick yourself. Can you kick yourself? I can. See that? Pow! Like that right there. If you can't, then let somebody else kick you. Amen. Like, pow! Like that. Kick yourself. If you ain't doing your best, kick yourself. If you're not doing your best, kick yourself. And if you are doing your best, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. She hath done what she could. Nursery,
Sometimes Kim will say, Brother Danny, we need nursery workers. We need help. Ladies, have you done what you can? Well, I ain't going to. That ain't the attitude of a Christian. The attitude of a Christian is, I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can. Are you doing what you can? It's not unreasonable. God will bless you if you'll just do what you can do. Let's stand by our head for prayer. They're coming to get us a song.